But I guess it was about a week ago that you were told no playoffs. What is your reaction to that? And
Well, Herb, we knew, to be honest, from the beginning that first it was an option and it was a reality. But we knew also, before they announced it, that it was not going to be a reality for us in the Northern Division logistic, and it was going to get difficult with the player association and just getting through. It's been a challenge to go through 36 game, as you know. So the guy, it's not like the next day after I had to address. I never addressed it to the player, to be honest. Didn't have to. We all knew it was there, and the practice was great the next day. I didn't feel the mood was down or anything like that in our performance in practice or game. So it was just, I think, an official way to say it in something that we knew that was a reality. That being said, I don't want to be the glass half full kind of guy and the pom-pons, but to be honest, for us to have 36 game, that's a lot of game. It's half a season, to be honest, and with our player, it's in the pandemic where we didn't play. We're kind of happy, really excited, to be honest, to have at least that opportunity. Now, playoff would have been great, I get it, but we got a chance to do some playoff mindset game and playoff series with our guy, which we did really well. So it is what it is.
And I do understand that, but obviously anyone in sports is a competitor from the youngest of ages, and they all play, you all play to win, you play to win championships. Can being the best team in the division, by far, you just dominated the division. Can that be enough, knowing that, of course, your mindset in the AHL is also different as well?
You're right. It is different. Our lineup, we had 35 players at one point. We were running two practice a day. Now we're pretty scratch on numbers and even. So that's the AHL reality. You don't coach in the AHL like you coach anywhere in the other league. You still have to have a winning mindset in some way, but there's a lot of that comes that, I always say you coach with Ankoff. This is what it is. You always kind of coach with Ankoff a little bit in the NHL too, but in the AHL it's Ankoff in the wrist, in the leg, and you don't control so many things. So we at least control our environment, and we control the way we perform, and that's what we targeted. So you're right, we're a competitor. If we weren't, we probably wouldn't have that record, to be honest. So it is what it is, and we're looking for performance. And even this morning, we adjust and, to be even better as that we can be, with a lot of young guys now getting opportunity. So it is what it is. And to be honest, we've rolled with that situation and look for our performance and be the best that we can be.
You ran away with this division. Why do you think the Rocket was so much superior than the other teams? And when you look back on this season, what will you take out of it? What has been
Well,
most
I don't
rewarding?
know if it's fair to say we were so much superior in a way that winning is hard, and I keep repeating this for the last while because we've been winning and it seems like people take it for granted. And it's like, well, yeah, well, another easy game. No. It wasn't easy. That West Coast trip to win and to be 7-0-1, like, no, it wasn't. Winning is hard. If winning was easy, every team would do it. Every athlete would win. So I don't think it was a dominance in a way that we played against good team with good player, with guy that played in the NHL. I think we just started, 2 years, 3 years ago with the COVID, we missed a year, to be honest. Or I've said it before. We started with the program and we've hit the nail on the head, and we thought we were playing really well the first year and didn't win as much as we should, but we stuck with it. And the second year we won more. And when we started, to be honest, in January, we felt we already were ahead of where we were 2 years ago. So we didn't waste our time during that month of preparation, and we came out of the gate ready, but it's been challenging. It hasn't been, it's not like it's easy. It looks easy sometimes, but the player have been unbelievable buying in and adjusting during period and game and segments. It's all about the player, to be honest, that bought into what we're doing.
Certainly, judging by your record, you're superior than the other teams. But what will be, when you look back on this season, what will be the most rewarding or enriching thing
Attitude. Attitude of the guy. The vision I have is crazy. I know it is, and I'm a crazy guy probably for a lot of people, but I believe in good human being that push in the right direction, that have a mindset that buy-ins, and I believe in coaches trying to do the best they can for the player, partnership with them. To me, it's the buy-in that the guys did. That's the attitude they had when I had to tell a veteran to sit out, you know, 35 player, and guys, you know, being vocal and disgusting and calling them at night to say, you're not going to play tomorrow, how you feel about it. But, you know, I guarantee you 100%, even if we win 10-0, you're going to be back in the lineup tomorrow and putting my word on the table and respecting my word, even if we won game, to say, hey, now it's turn, somebody else's turn. The good person that they were, the cheering on to each other that they did, the buying in the last minute on stuff we ask, and watching games again and saying, we talked about this and they're doing it, and look at the, so this is what it is to me. And that's all the good guys that work hard, that were cheering for each other and wanting to win and being excited for each other's success. That's what I'm going to remember. And that's how it should be.
Julian McKenzie. You're up.
Hey, Joel, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, Joel. You may have answered this the other night, but I still want to ask this anyway. Obviously, with the handful of games left, you still have to coach. You already have the division well intact. What does it mean to you to have a division title to your name, even though it means you're not going to be, even though it means you're not going to have any playoffs to play through?
Well, over my career, never really look in the Quebec League. We were very lucky to have great player. Then for years we've beat record. We were as our organization, we did really well, and it was all the guys that were in there, and it was happy. I was very happy. I was always happy for the staff, and I'm always happy for the staff when that things happen, because I'm the one sitting here right now. I'm talking to you, but it's not about me, and it's not me. It's the assistant coach that, you know, Dan has been an animal. We are two coach right now, me and Dan, and we have Marco Marciano, and we have Kyle Gagnon, and we have the supporting staff. Do you know how much they have to work with COVID protocol? It's crazy the amount of work they put usually, and now multiply it with 35 player and all that protocol. And that's their reward too, right? And the players that bought into what we're talking about, I always felt uncomfortable winning a award, to be honest, a little bit when in the Quebec League and coaches and GM of the year and stuff, because I always want to, it's not about me, it's the guys, it's them, you know. And I think at Eric Lévesque, the work he's got to do every day, and then he's happy when we clinch. Like for him, it's he's part of it, and they are not part of it, big part of it. And Glenn, so for me, it's all about the guys. I'm so happy to see them cheer and, you know, kind of clinch. That's my satisfaction more than saying this and that, or win this or win that. It's the guy that holds the sticks, and it's the guy that are digging deep and buying into the vision. You know, I have a vision of what I think we should do and a direction, but if they don't, you know, they don't buy in or they don't get it, like this is what I think about.
I wanted to ask about that vision. There's a quote floating around from your last media availability where you said in French, where you've been told that your vision, essentially the way that you would go about things or the way you go about coaching, maybe would work in junior, maybe it wouldn't work in the pros. You said that you've been told that. I was just curious, like I was just going to say, like, throughout your career, who was telling you those things, and what was it like to kind of push through that?
Well, I don't think they were negative about it. They were just like, wow, this is a lot. Like, well, winning is hard, and there's a lot of details. And I think you have to take the time and partnership with the player and sit down and explain why we're doing this. And when the guy get it, like, you look at a Belzil that come in at 20-some years old and said, you know what, I like that, let's do it. And then his career, he's in the NHL right now. I mean, he was in the Coast 3-4 years ago. And it's all the player. It's not me. It's the player all the time, you know. And the Jake Evans that comes and I tell him, you know what, we're going to transform you. He's like, what? Yeah, you were good in NCAA, not good enough. We got to do it. And the guy comes in and say, hey, do whatever you want with me. Kyle Fleury that comes in, you know, and says, we're going to do this. So it's all about the players being the best version of themselves. And my job is to make sure that everybody is the best version of themselves. That's a coach's job. And that's the president of a company. And that's anybody that's in any leading position, is to, where are you now? Okay, let's be yourself 2.0. my job is to make myself better. I've changed two drills today. You know, like I modified them so I think they're better now. And this is what it's all about. If we don't do this, then why are we doing this? You know, everybody's doing the same thing. I think our job is to, what can we do so we all can be the best version of ourselves? Because don't kid yourself, the mirror is the worst enemy every morning. And that's why I know it's demanding for some player to say, well, be better 8 times out of 10. And I'm going to count every time. And it's been, well, yeah, I get that. It's hard. Well, again, like I said, look at all. Do you think Tiger Woods was that good by just being a buffoon? Like he's challenged himself to be the best that he could be. And I think that that's our job, you know, because there's a scoreboard. And that's the vision, to try to be as good as you can. I understand if nobody's going to be perfect, you know. I get that. That's obvious. If it was perfect, everybody would bat 1,000 at baseball, you know. I mean, the best in the world bat for 300. It's got to be hard, don't you think?
Yeah.
So that's the mentality I've tried with the player, to say, if everybody's 7 out of 10, let's try to be 7.5 out of 10. We're not going to be perfect, and we're not going to crush people. Like, we've look at our game, we've not crushed teams, we've played tight game, we played, it's hard, man. It's hard winning. It's really hard. It's not easy. What Tom Brady's done in football, it's unexplainable. But look at all the detail he has in this. And of course, you can just be happy to, doesn't mean he's miserable either, you know.
Could I get one last question in with you? How do you know how to deal with certain players? Obviously, with the way the guys are coaching in the NHL, you're dealing with veterans, say, for example, like a Carl Alsner, who's played how many NHL games, and you deal with them. But you've also dealt with younger players like an Alexandre Alain, who you had in your system and was obviously a young player, not with you anymore. But just to kind of show both sides of the spectrum, how do you know to differentiate the way that you are with different players and not necessarily have one approach that fits for everyone?
It's a good question, but I cannot give you an answer in a way that there's things that you can explain and there's things that it's your job. Like, I do seminar with young coach and they ask me, how do you do that? Well, that's going to be you to figure out, because you have to be, you have to adjust. Like, some people ask me when I first, you think you're going to be able to be like you were in junior? Of course not. They're different. It's my job to adjust. If I don't adjust, they're going to fire me. It's still a job as a coach. You need to be good at something, you know, it's not just a iPad. So how do I do and do a guy versus another one? Well, that's my job to figure it out. And it's my job to adjust if I wasn't good enough to get it. And it's my job to adjust to this generation. And it's my job to adjust to a Carl Alsner that was unbelievable. Like, Carl Alsner for me has been such a true professional, a great person. I mean, he was just great. He's not easy a situation, and he managed this like a champ. And he's probably part of what we're doing here is part of Carl Alsner in a way that, you know, set the tone. And at one point, if they don't buy in or they don't get it, then we have to make decision, because it is what it is. But, you know, you got to give the guys chance, and you have to explain and take the time. I've sat 1 hour and 10 minutes with a player one time because he did not agree with what I was trying to tell him. And, you know, we had a really great conversation. He wasn't me saying, yeah. I'm not like that. I don't scream that. I'm intense and demanding, but I don't. It was more of watching clip for 1 hour and 10 minutes. Say, what do you think? Oh, yeah, but if I do this. And I was like, okay, what? Yeah, if you do this. And then all of a sudden, after 1 hour and 10, I was like, you know what? I think we're going to get it done. Because he left the room. And I sense it was creep it in, and he was unbelievable for us. Like, I mean, he was a really good player. I'm not gonna mention it. He was on and off the ice awesome, but he needed that time to explain himself, and I get that, and I embrace that. It was great. And he went on and played for really good for us, really 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 good for us, and he took some time.
Amy Johnson.
Thank you. Good morning. Good afternoon, Joel. I know you spoke about this in French, but just to talk about, it's been a bad week for injury announcements. Ryan Poehling's announcement today that he's having season-ending surgery. Can you just give us any
additional words
on that? And after such a strong season for him, having it
I know strong season, but again, the Montreal Canadiens and the process of evaluating player and where they are. And again, Amy, you know, it's not because you see a player on the ice with a jersey that he's fully 100%. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to always assume that they will be five or six guys that are not 100%. Sometimes they perform better when they're injured, which is what it is, because they have character and they adjust. But in the Ryan case, he's been playing really well. You're right. And Dr. Mulder and the group of the Habs, which I have nothing to do with, because, you know, obviously I don't get involved into this. That's not my expertise. And I'm not a doctor and never studied 1 minute to be a doctor. So I let them do what they have to do. And the decision was to be, you know, to do what they needs to be done. So it's disappointing, but like I said, in French, disappointing for Teasdale, for Blandisi, for mm-hmm. for Pezzetta, for all the guys that are missing time. I've missed so much time as a hockey player. I know how hard it is, and some guys are fighting for contracts. So the good news, I think, in a lot of these guys and with Ryan, is that they were performing this year. You know, you get injured, not playing well. Oh my God. Like, the hill is like really high. You get injured, you have to not finish the season. It's not great. It will happen in a 12, 13 year career, 15. It's going to happen. You're going to miss some time. You're going to have surgery. If you know, you think you're going to go through a career without, you know, getting surgery, wrong business. But at least he got to perform this year. He was probably his best pro hockey, you know, moment for a while now. So same thing with Teasdale, right? How does that, devastating that is, but at least he didn't have one goal and two assists in 25 games. Like, yeah, he's almost 20 points, missed 2 years. Like, at least he knows he can perform. Same thing with Joe Blandisi and Pezzetta, that's been much better every year climbing. So, but yeah, it's not great, to be honest. It's heartbreaking for me. It's something that, you know, it took us a few days. We know all of them. And it doesn't matter if they're a prospect or they're just guy fighting to play hockey for a living. We like them all, and it's not fun, because, you know, they cannot justify their play of being in the stands.
So you've got all of those injuries that have come out this week now, and of course Veju getting assessed a new suspension for tomorrow night, which will take him out of your lineup as well. So it sounds like it'll be a reliance on some of your younger players again, and some new opportunities for next man up.
Yeah, we're 10. We got the boy short a little bit sometimes. It's okay. It's what it is. We started with 35 player at one point. Remember, Amy? We were doing practice today. We're like right on the cusp here, and it's unfortunate. And then spoke with a couple of players. This is what happens sometimes. I make the NHL because Steve Chiasson got injured. I was playing well in the minors, but they had contract. And then look at Cole right now getting an opportunity because some guy got injured. And most of the player get a chance in NHL because of an injury to somebody. And right now, those injuries are costly because they're either veteran or guys that were playing big minute in our lineup and doing really well. But now the young guys that have been practicing hard, that have been buying in, that have been, you know, we've been demanding and hard on them to get better and improve and stick with the pace and stick with the process and practice. They have an opportunity. So this is what it's all about, you know, and obviously our lineup has been like this all year. Remember in that Western trip, at one point we were like so short in player. Mm-hmm. We got through it and we kept winning. And last game, I didn't know what to expect because we were still short, you know, young guys, and they chipping in, and Howell get a point on one goal. And, you know, that's what you cheer on.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
Coach, we'll take one final question. We'll go back to Herb. Herb, real quick, please.
Merci, Charles, and thank you, Joel. You know, obviously you do still have some games remaining. And I'm sure you want them to go out on a high note, on a positive note. How do you keep ensure that the foot is on the gas now that they've clinched?
Every day, we're leaving today, our meeting was about us performing. I don't talk about wins. I talk about performance since day one. And you get the performance, wins will be there. And last game is the best example. We had a performance. We didn't win. And you're not going to win every time, you know, but you give yourself a chance. If you are good at what you should be doing, you're taking care of business. You're not going to be a perfect record. You're not going to be perfect all the time, but you stick with that. You stick with what works. And you know, my meeting to the guy is a lot of the same, you know, a lot of the same. And even today we were joking. I said, guys, I come back with a lot of the same. When something works, you don't change it, you know. But, you know, I've tweaked some drill, a lot of the same, but even better. That was my message today to the boys, like better and better. And you know, teams are waiting for us. They're going to be coming hard at us. We know Belleville's going to come hard at us tomorrow. So it's our job to be ready. And that's the challenge. When you get winning, you just want to keep that. But if you just take one step off, or like you said, you just lift off the foot a little bit, you see it in game. And we've made that mistake where we're playing great. We lifted off last game, just one shift where we didn't really were as clean. And they were, you know, and it just like got lucky a little bit, but they still got it. So it's your job and it's our job to make sure we keep going.
Merci, Joel.
Thanks.
Merci, coach.